Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 17, and then from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be reading the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Keep in mind this morning that in your bulletins there is an outline of this morning's sermon that you may want to have with you to follow along to assist you as you listen this morning. But let us begin with our scripture reading, the reading of God's Word as we find it in Exodus chapter 20, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be going back and forth between these two passages this morning, but Ephesians chapter 6, and for our scripture reading, I'll be reading the first four verses of Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." Thus the reading of God's Word this morning as we find it in the book of Exodus and the book of Ephesians. A number of years ago, in a kind gesture, a greeting card company decided to offer prisoners at a particular prison free Mother's Day cards that they could send to their mother for Mother's Day. They put a sign-up sheet in the prison, in the area that prisoners could go, and they were overwhelmed by the number of prisoners that signed up to send a free card to their mother for Mother's Day. The next month, the greeting card company decided to do this same kind gesture for Father's Day. Again, they put a sign-up sheet out in the back of the area where prisoners could go, and they offered a free sign-up for Father's Day cards that prisoners could send to their fathers. But much to their surprise, there were very few takers for their offer for Father's Day cards. On a recent radio broadcast, the prison ministry called Crossroads Bible Institute reported that according to their surveys, 80% of prisoners either had no father in their life growing up, or perhaps never even met their father, and very little communication with their father if they did. What does this show? It shows how important a father is in the life of a person. It shows why a father is due honor on Father's Day and every day of the year. Why? Because fathers have been given authority from God. And when you honor your father, you honor God Himself. This morning for our scripture reading, I have read from God's law concerning the fifth commandment. And the key to understanding the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is to know it in its context in Exodus chapter 20. As you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, I've put it verse 2 in your outline, but that should be verse 3. Verse 3, the last phrase of that verse says, "You shall have no other gods before me." The Israelites are standing before God at Mount Sinai. They are in His presence. They stand before His face as God is present on the mountain. And God has brought them to this place to give them His law and to make His covenant with them. He has brought them out of Egypt. He has delivered them from the land of slavery by the blood of the Passover lamb. He has brought them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, feeding them bread and water on the way, manna and water on the way, and brought them to this place at Mount Sinai where they stand before His face. And very soon He is going to give them instructions for the tabernacle so He will dwell not on top of the mountain and them down below, but in their midst, in the center of their camp, God's presence will be. And so in these laws, in these Ten Commandments, verse 3 is reminding us that God is giving His people these instructions to live before His face. And one of the things that God has to instruct them about in this fifth commandment is authority and honor. And as they stand before His face, ultimately, they must learn to honor God and God's authority. And one way they learn that, according to the commands, is in their family. In the fifth commandment, when a very young child is born within the home and God instructs His people and instructs the children, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that God has given you. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 states it this way, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." You hear that second line? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The focus of this commandment, as we find it in Exodus chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 6, is in the Lord. The people are standing before God's face. They live their lives before God's face. And as they learn about authority, as they learn about obedience in the home, they learn about submitting to God's authority and honoring God in the home. When we look at Ephesians 6 verse 1, and we're reminded as the Apostle Paul wrote it, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," we're reminded of the fact that even in the New Testament, we live before God's face. Even in the New Testament, we are taught, we are instructed by God to teach our children not for our own benefit, not for our own selves, not so they will obey us and do everything we say, but the focus is in the Lord. When Paul states, "Children, obey your parents," keep in mind what this means. Your father, your parents, represent God's authority in your life. You live your life in the home before the face of God. And this means when you dishonor your father, you dishonor God. You dishonor God's authority before his very face. Think what that means. To stand before the face of God is you stand before the face of God in God's presence in heaven. Do you call him your old man? If you stand before the presence of God in heaven, do you show him disrespect by getting angry at him, by disagreeing with him and mumbling something under your breath about him? Do you become angry and run away from him and slam the door because you're tired of what he's been telling you? You would never give such dishonor to God like that before his face. You wouldn't dare. And you should never act that way before your earthly Father on earth. God is calling us in this command to honor our fathers in the Lord, to honor our fathers as we would honor him, that we would not show our fathers dishonor as we would not show God dishonor. Think about what that means, moms. Fathers are not given their position or their authority from God because they've earned it. God doesn't say to a father, well, okay, if you demonstrate this amount of godliness and this amount of righteousness, you earn the right to be a father. Fathers are not made fathers because they deserve it, but God gives them that authority. And part of the job as kids and as moms is to build up honor, a sense of honor in the child. That they would see their father in terms of the fact that they have been given a portion of God's authority. And to instruct or to teach or to allow children to dishonor their father does no good, even if their father has failings. Why? That brings us to point C on our outlines. If you honor your father, you will learn to honor all authority. The reference I meant to put there is Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. In the passage from the fifth commandment in Exodus 20, the wording goes that you may have long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul makes sure that we apply this to our day. This isn't just about the land that God gave Israel long ago in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul writes that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Remember at the beginning of this sermon, I mentioned that 80% of prisoners either did not have a father growing up or have no communication with their father. And now they have broken the law and find themselves in prison. Why? If you look at your outlines you see this morning, I have put on there question and answer 124 from the Westminster Larger Catechism, which speaks to us about the fifth commandment. Who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in the place of authority, whether in family, in church, or in commonwealth. The Catechism, as it summarizes the Scripture, is reminding us that this is the institution, the home, the family, where authority and respect for authority is taught. And when that is missing, the child does not know as he grows up what authority is, how they are to respond to authority. And so as the child grows up and he moves out of the home, he doesn't understand respect. He doesn't understand authority. And if not taught to honor their parents, if not taught to honor their father, they will not honor their boss. They will not honor the civil authorities and laws over them. They will not honor others around them in other relationships because they were not taught in the home. God tells us in this command to demonstrate God's authority in the lives of His people. He has established that mothers and fathers be given a portion of that authority and to exercise that God-given authority in the lives of their children. And for so many who have broken the law, who have disobeyed the civil authorities, the 80% of prisoners who are in prison, they never learned to honor their father's authority. That's why the Apostle Paul adds that last phrase to verse 3, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life in the land. If people are not taught about authority, if children fail to honor their fathers and their father's authority, they have not learned to honor God and God's authority. When a child grows up, he doesn't live under the realm of his parents his whole life. They grow up. They move out of the house. And now the authority that they must respect and honor most of all is God's. And if they have learned about authority, if they have sought as children all the way growing up to honor the authority of their parents and their father, they will move out of the home and enjoy a long life of blessing on the earth because they understand God's authority. They've learned to honor God. They've learned to honor their parents as they were young. And they can know that their life, when they honor God and they honor His authority and His commands, will be a blessing to those around them who respond and deal with them in various situations. But you see, there is a second reason that God teaches us in this command in terms of fathers and mothers, and that is found in your fourth point, point D, on your outlines this morning. Paul goes on in verse 4 to say this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." We established in point C the responsibility that those inferiors, or we should say those who are under authority, have to submit to those who are superiors. But in point D, God instructs us in this command in terms of how those in authority should treat those under them. And in verse 4, Paul reminds us in the first part of the verse that fathers are not to exasperate their children. Fathers who are unfaithful, fathers who abuse the authority that God has given them, fathers who do not have the focus of understanding, look, My role as a father is to teach you about the Lord and bring you up in the Lord. But instead, they see their role as being about themselves. They can exasperate their children against them. But Paul says at the end of that verse, instead, bring them up in the training or nurture, some of your translations say, and I think it's a better word, bring them up in the nurture and the instruction or admonition of the Lord. As you look at your outlines again, I have put another question and answer from the Westminster Larger Catechism on your outlines. This one says, why are superiors styled father and mother? Why did God establish it in the command, father and mother? Superiors are styled father and mother, both to teach them in all duties toward their inferiors. Like natural parents, to express love and tenderness to them according to their several relations, and to work inferiors to a greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties to their superiors as to their parents. You see, the second part of this command is a command that is given instructions to parents, to fathers, that they would teach their children about authority as God shows His authority and honor to them. That they, like natural parents in the home, would teach them what authority is. That they would express love and tenderness, is the words of our catechism. That they would seek to teach those under their authority a greater willingness and cheerfulness to perform their duties to those over them. And ultimately, that they would give them instruction and guidance in the Lord. What does that mean? It means that we are called as fathers to love our children, to love those under our authority as God loves them. That part of the responsibility of this command is that you love your children and care for them as God does. But someone might say, my dad didn't love me like that. My dad loses his temper. My dad was never around. My father, like the prisoners who were surveyed, I don't even know him. He failed in his responsibility. He failed in this part of the command. He did not represent God well. He exasperated me, and now because of what he has done to me, I have no love for God and no respect for authority. And they conclude that they have the right to dishonor him. We have to go back to the root of this command. And the root of this command, you remember, is found in God. Remember from Exodus 20, honor your father and mother before the face of God, because you must learn about obedience and authority to God. The goal of being a parent, according to Ephesians 6 verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. The end of verse 4, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. All throughout the instructions concerning this command, the goal is so that the child or the young person would grow up and know the Lord. That they would learn about God's authority. That they would live their life under God's authority and give honor to God. On the radio broadcast from the prison ministry this week, they read several letters from prisoners giving thanks to God for the Bible materials that the Institute had provided them. Some of the letters went like this. I never knew my father, and it's Father's Day. But now that I know my Heavenly Father, even though on earth I had no relationship with my father and didn't even know who he was, I have a responsibility to know my Heavenly Father and to be a father to the children that God has given me. How can you learn that? How can you know that? Galatians 4 teaches us. In point E on your outlines, we learn that honoring authority honors God. And in Galatians 4, beginning at verse 3, God reminds us that He is our Father. Verse 3, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls us Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Paul is reminding us through the Spirit of God in Galatians 4 that we were once slaves, like the Israelites in Egypt. That we, without God's grace, would be enslaved to our sin and have no hope as sinners of salvation. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, who humbled Himself and came to this earth to die on the cross, so we may be sons, so that we have a heavenly Father, so that even though we may have an earthly father that failed, we have a perfect heavenly Father who sent His Son to die for us. And now we are called His sons, His daughters. And we are given the privilege of praying to Him and with the Spirit calling out to Him, Abba, which in English means daddy. Abba, Father. You see, our Savior set the path for us. In Mark chapter 14, our Savior has gone into the garden, and He knows what is in store for Him. He is about to go to Jerusalem. He is about to go to Jerusalem, and He there will face those who have sought to put Him to death. They will arrest Him. They will crucify Him. They will beat Him. They will nail Him to a cross. And He goes into the garden in Mark chapter 14, verse 35, and we read that going a little farther, He fell to the ground and He prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from Him. Abba, Father, He prayed. Everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will. Our Savior's Father had ordained that His Son go to the cross, that His Son be beaten, that His Son be nailed to the cross and die. And our Savior prays, Father, the same prayer that You pray, Abba, if it be Your will, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. As he hung on the cross, he did not think, my Father's failed me. I don't like the path that my Father has laid out for me. But he willingly submitted and obeyed his Father unto death, so that you could have life, so that you can pray to him as he prayed, Abba, Father. Your Savior did that for you. How can you carry around bitterness or anger against your earthly father for his failings? Your Savior paid for your sins. Your Savior covered your sins with his blood poured out on the cross. He took God's wrath for you upon himself. He rose from the grave so you could have everlasting life. The purpose of this command is rooted in God. God has put a father in your life for one purpose: to demonstrate God's authority in your life, to nurture that relationship that you have with God. Some of you have been blessed with a faithful father who has done that. And on Father's Day, it is a time to thank God that he blessed you with that in your life. But perhaps there are others here who were not blessed with a father like that. But it does you no good to hold on to something against him because of his failings. It does no good to be bitter or angry against him because of his failings. Your focus is on the Savior who died for you. Your Savior who did nothing sinful, but paid for your sins so that you can know the God in heaven as your Father, so that you can go someday to be with him and dwell with him forever. And your responsibility now is to know your heavenly Father and to honor him. On Father's Day and every day, we must honor God our Father. We can do that when we show our respect and honor to the authorities that God has put in our lives, and we give thanks to him and praise to him in our worship and honor of him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Father's Day. We thank you for what it means. For you have given us life in this world to know you. We rejoice that you have blessed us with the institution of the family. We thank you for the fathers you have put in our lives to teach us about you. And Father, for those who have been blessed with faithful fathers who love you and serve you, we give thanks for the way that you have blessed them in their life through them. But Father, we also pray for those who deal with difficult relationships with their fathers, we pray that you would help them and give them discernment as to how to show honor. That, Father, they could see beyond the failings to see what it means to know you and to honor you. That you would help them to put behind them the past and with their focus on you and our Savior who died for them, they may see and identify with the great salvation that you have given them, that this may overwhelm them and the hurts and pains from the past would go away. Father, we thank you for this special day of the year which we set aside to honor fathers and to honor you. We pray that as your people, you would enable us to give you the honor and praise that is due you and your authority all our lives as we live before your face. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.